All right, it's 5 o'clock, so I'm gonna go ahead and call the City of Columbia Council Work Session to order. It's Monday, October 21st, and we're gonna do open, closed, open, most likely for this meeting, so I'll kick it over to Dave Sorrell. Sorry, I'm kicking it over to you, Dave.
I was just waiting.
No, this is not, yeah, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. Well, Mayor and Council, thank you for letting us come speak with you this evening about the electric transmission system. In addition to myself, I've got several staff members here to help answer difficult questions, so stop us at any point. If you've got a question, we'll be happy to try to address it. So this evening, what I'm hoping to receive is direction on whether or not we proceed with an upgrade to our electric transmission system. So I'll begin the discussion with a brief overview of our system, some of the history of the efforts to do a transmission upgrade, update you on the status of some substation projects, and then give you the option that staff recommends we proceed with for your consideration.
And Dave, please remember to talk loud. We're working on improving the acoustics in this room.
But I'll do my best.
We're not there yet.
I'm not very loud. So this slide shows our current system and how it's connected to the grid. The 161 lines are in green. The 69 kV lines are in orange. And you'll note that while we have 161 on both the east side of town and the west, they are not connected across the system. So we've been talking about possibly doing electric transmission upgrade for 18 or 20 years. There's been a lot of studies done to complete investigation on options available that would meet the needs of our system today and in the future. These studies identified the option of connecting Grindstone Substation to Percy Creek Substation with a new 161 kV transmission line as the best solution to address regulatory and reliability concerns with our system. There was a series of public meetings held prior to 2015, and the consensus from those meetings was the alignment along a path that would run along Scott Boulevard, Water School Road, Nifong, and Grindstone was determined at the time to be the preferred alternative. A ballot issue was proposed to approve bond funding to construct these upgrades, and it was approved by the community in 2015. A previous council approved moving forward with the upgrades to the transmission system. An engineering firm was selected and design of the improvements were initiated. As part of the design process, soil information for the foundation design was necessary, and when equipment was dispatched to start obtaining that data, there was concern from residents, and the second public hearing was held, and then the project was put on pause. Following it being put on pause, a task force was created to develop both an integrated electric resource plan and a master plan for the electric utility. The plan developed by the task force was presented to the council in December of 21, and staff presented a response in two work sessions in May and June of 22. At a work session in April 23, we presented recommendations for possible substation expansions instead of a new substation, which was not recommended by the task force report. And then summarized again the proposed transmission improvement options. The direction of council at that time was to proceed with substation expansion improvements and investigate the potential for a system interconnection with Ameren's transmission system west of Columbia. Following that work session, as recommended in the Siemens report, staff evaluated the expansion of Percy Creek substation and Bullshead substation, as well as determining alternatives to protect Hinkson from potential for damage due to flooding. I'll go over the status of each one of those. So at Percy, we're going to add a transformer, and we've ordered all the materials for the upgrade. Council's approved that project. Material delivery is going to dictate the schedule, and we think the project should be constructed in the fall of 2026. This adds a transformer and provides redundant power supply for both the water and wastewater treatment plants and allows for growth in that area of town. At the Bullshead substation, we're planning to replace our old equipment with new equipment, and that includes the use of transformers that we originally obtained for the Mill Creek substation. Other necessary materials have been ordered, and again, the material delivery is going to dictate the schedule, so it will probably also be the fall of 2026 before this project is completed. The third project we looked at was the Hinkson substation. We had a flood that happened in June of 2021. It did not take the substation out of service. Nothing was impacted. The city land surveyor went out since, subsequent to that, got elevations. We determined that that flood was slightly higher than the FEMA projected 100-year flood. And we can elevate the equipment in there by 8 to 10 inches and protect it from flooding without having to relocate the entire facility. So we'll do that as time allows. Staff will do that. So transmission. Our system meets current regulatory requirements. However, changes to regulatory requirements or increasing loads due to electrification and general growth of the city will require upgrades in the future at some time. It may not be for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, but at some point we would be required to do an upgrade. An additional transmission line connecting the southern facilities from east to west is what we would anticipate at this time. And our current system, we would have to shed load in the case of certain N-1-1 contingencies. With that being the case, we potentially would be unable to serve any large load requests, such as data centers or firm power. And that east-west transmission connection has value, accommodating renewable wind or solar, and addresses contingencies currently requiring load shed. And we have constraints taking equipment offline to perform NERC-required maintenance, because anytime you take a facility out of service, you are in an N-1 scenario automatically. And due to these contingencies, we have increased reliance on the Columbia Energy Center for reliability purposes. But a lot of times, some of those contingencies require all four units at the Energy Center to be available. And for instance, right now, due to transformer failure, only half that center is available. And the parts aren't going to be here till next month, I believe. So every year, we're required by regulation to analyze our transmission system. And by regulation, our system is required to be able to provide energy in any scenario when any one component is not available. That's the N-1. Any piece that comes out of service, we're supposed to still be able to provide energy. So, you know, just an example, if a car hits a transmission pole and breaks the pole, that section of the line's out of service till we get the pole put back in, everything repaired. We have to be able to continue to provide energy to all our customers. We also do an analysis where two components are taken out of service at the same time, and that's the N-1-1 scenario. And in that scenario, when two components are not available at the same time, we are not required to provide energy to all the customers, and we can instead shed load. And what this really means is we just shut off people's power until the system's repaired and is functioning again. It only happens during certain conditions, and it would only happen typically on the hottest days of the year, because that's when the load's the highest, and that's when we would need to do the shedding. And like I said again, our system meets current requirements for regulations. What I would like to do now is go into closed session to explain some of the contingencies that are kind of driving this, and why. And those things we're not allowed to discuss, the impacts of our system on our neighbors or our neighbors' systems on ours. So if that's what the council would like to do, that's what I think we should do.
So the thought is we'll go into closed session to learn about some of these, and then we'll open it back up, and that'll be also when we have our more discussion and question and answer time. So how much time do you estimate for closed?
10-15 minutes. Okay. Not very long.
Okay. Is there any problem? Because if not, I'll make the motion. Okay. I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri, to immediately go into a closed session meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss existing or proposed security systems and structural plans of real property owned or leased by a public governmental body, and information that is voluntarily submitted by a non-public entity owning or operating an infrastructure to any public governmental body for use by that body to devise plans for protection of that infrastructure, that public disclosure of which would threaten public safety. The disclosure of such information would impair the city's ability to protect the security or safety of persons or real property, and the public interest in non-disclosure outweighs the public interest in disclosure of the information to be discussed pursuant to Section 610.02119 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Can I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Lisa. All right, Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Waterman.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady.
Yes. Each one of these alternatives, and I'll give a brief overview of them at this time. So the first one that we're going to look at would be this connection to Ameren's system west of town and coming into Pershing Creek with a new 161 kV transmission line.
David, could you point that out again, please?
It's that red line right there over to Pershing Creek.
Okay, thank you.
So the Siemens report estimated that project would cost approximately $24 million. It would consist of Ameren building a substation on their 345 line and then the city building a 161 transmission line to Pershing, and we would have to cover all costs. When we discussed this with Ameren, they told us that the substation would exceed $26 million, and that didn't include the transmission line, so I believe the cost would probably be in excess of $34 million. This option requires all four units of the Columbia Energy Center to be available in order to not need to shed load, and it still has some system overloads under high load conditions, and I do not believe that this option should be considered any further.
Are you okay to pause for questions on these as we go through? So why would this one require all four units of the Columbia Energy Center?
You know the answer to that off the top of your head?
I.
That's in the Siemens report when they did their analysis that in order to not shed load, we would have to turn on all four units of CEC.
Without getting into too much detail, we studied it, and that's the conditions we found. We studied it internally, and Siemens studied
it. Is it because of its location?
That east to west connection is really important.
Yeah. And this is just connecting, adding a little bit of redundancy at one area. Okay.
So this doesn't address the west to east at all?
No.
Do we know why Siemens recommended it or as an alternative?
This was recommended in late teens by Tad Johnson as something to consider.
Okay. All right.
Ted Johnson, the former director of utilities.
Former director of water and light, yeah.
Water and light, okay.
Okay. Can we move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
So the next option would be to construct a new transmission line connecting Pershing Creek substation through Hinkson Creek to Grindstone substation by creating a dual circuit along the existing alignment of the current 69 kV transmission line. And that's the red line that you see here. It goes from Pershing to Hinkson, down to Grindstone. It was the preferred alternative by the task force, and the Siemens report estimated it would cost approximately $30 million. This solution does address the need to shed load in an N-1-1 scenario. It would still require two units at the CEC to be available. The biggest hurdle with this option is that it would prove to be very difficult to construct because basically it requires removal of the existing 69 kV transmission line and then reconstruction of a new line that has two circuits on it. The window for construction is limited to a fairly short period each spring and each fall, so it would probably take multiple years to construct because you got to have the system outaged when you're doing that work. Putting you in an N-1 scenario the whole time you're doing the construction.
Is this the one that's along Chapel Hill, more or less?
Yeah, it goes down Chapel Hill and
and then down Form or something.
And then it runs basically just straight east-west along Chapel Hill if it was a straight road
okay.
to Hinkson Substation, and then goes through Seven Oaks Subdivision and then down along Grindstone.
Okay. That helps me, otherwise they're just a bunch of lines.
So, and it'd be, you know, a lot of the work is in backyards and easement area that's a little bit more difficult to access than along the street right away.
So would this be replacing or adding to the line there?
You would be adding to, but in order to do that, you'd have to replace all the structures because they're not, they wouldn't be sufficient to hold up all the additional weight from the new circuit. So you'd have to basically tear the line down and build a new line.
And in that cost estimate you have, does that then require additional land acquisition, like right away to get, since it's a bigger...
There would be some, but not a tremendous amount. We might have to get some temporary access easements and such as that, but...
But the bigger poles don't require more...
No.
Right away?
They should not, in general, require a wider easement.
Okay.
You already have a path right
through there, yes.
And does then that $30 million with this one, does that include, is that $30 million from the when Siemens first did this, which is how many years ago?
21.
So do we have estimated on like what percentage increase of these costs might be in $25?
At this point, I do not have an estimate on that beyond what just general inflation has been. I mean, in 15, when we originally estimated this transmission line, it was 18. Now it's 22 from Siemens report. So if we get further direction to investigate, then that's one of the first things we'd do is get an updated estimate.
Okay. Valerie, did you have a question?
Yeah. Given that we have to essentially tear down and rebuild up, how does the rest of the system function during the construction phases of this project?
Well, I was saying. You're going to have a component out of service, which already puts you in the situation where you're...
Right.
So, I mean, assuming that you didn't have any more issues and you do it at a time of year when loads are low, then your system should still function. You wouldn't want to try to do this in July or August because the system would fail.
How long do you think the project takes to complete?
I think we'd be lucky to do it in 5 or 6 construction windows when we can take it out of service. So over 3 years, I would guess, just to actually physically construct it. The project overall, 8 to 10 years, if we were told to start now, just to go through the MISO approval process, get it all designed, get everything going, it'd probably be 8 to 10 years.
The other thing to consider is, since it's along that red line, if we have the left side out, then Hinkson Creek and the university are hanging out on this one line, and if that line goes out, and we're talking about fall and spring classes, we lose it, then everybody who's attached to Hinkson Creek sub, which is most of the south side of town, plus the university, are out of power. We have to get that one back up because the right side back up because the left side's under construction, or vice versa. It's rough.
And then the third alternative was to look at the option to go from Pershing Creek to Grindstone via Scott Boulevard, Vaughter School, Nifong, and Grindstone, which is the old option A, as was called with the ballot issue. The Siemens report estimated that it would cost approximately $22 million. This option and the overbuild, which we discussed just before this, are basically electrically the same. They have the same results. They address the need to shed load in an N-1-1 scenario while only requiring 2 units at the Columbia Energy Center to be available. This option is much easier to construct. It's along the roadway. We don't go through backyards. We don't have to take big components out of service for long periods of time. And I think approximately 80% of the poles on this alignment would be in existing rights-of-way or easements, which limits the amount of easement acquisition that would be required. It'd be easier to construct and maintain, and really, we believe the staff that this solution is the best that fits the needs of our system now and in the future. And it is a little bit more reliable only because you have two circuits on two different alignments.
Betsy, did you have a question?
Last time this came up, we also needed a substation. Have you guys decided we don't need that now? Or
so that came out of the task force Siemens report that we could not build a new substation and instead we could expand existing substations.
Okay.
So that when I went over earlier, we're adding a transformer at Pershing, we're expanding Bolstead substation, so we're beginning that process of expanding substations.
Okay. So with that, we will not need another substation?
At this time, it's not anticipated that we would need one.
Okay. And then the other thing is there's discussion about providing redundant services to the university. Does this at all impact that?
No, that's a separate project that the university's working on that would okay. give them a separate feed coming from Grindstone and one from Hinkson.
Okay. So we don't have to worry about that right now.
Yeah, Don.
On this option, the existing lines that are currently along Water School and Grindstone, Nifong, somewhere in some of the readings that there was a question about on the original proposal, the existing lines would be buried and the only thing that would be above ground would be the transmission line. What would be, in your estimates,
that
would that change?
We could continue with the idea of burying our existing distribution system if we went down this path, or we could look at keeping it aerial on poles. And we could evaluate that to determine which one would be the better option. This would not underground all the lines along that because some of them are Boone Electrics, and those would all remain overhead.
Yeah, Nick.
So when there are lines that belong to Boone Electric, can you say more about that? What does that mean? There is a separate line at 169 or whatever?
It's Boone Electric's distribution system. They have overhead distribution along Nifong, Walter School Road. That's partially in their service territory. If you look at all this area here, mm-hmm. that's in Boone Electric service territory, yeah. and they have overhead lines to serve their customers that go through there, and those would remain.
So it's just distribution, it's not transmission?
That's correct. It's just distribution.
Okay.
Get done.
In one of the Siemens reports, between this one and the previous one, this one actually still has concerns about meeting N minus one minus one, whereas the previous one, I think you have an option listed as option one in your report, would actually the only downside to that one would be expense and time, that it essentially addressed all of the N minus one minus one scenarios.
They're basically electrically identical.
One of the Siemens reports indicated there were some concerns about option two.
Did you identify the option one or option two, like by some road?
Well, option, and David and I had this discussion before the meeting. Option one is W, which would be Chapel Hill.
Thank you.
And option two would be the A/Z. It was option A, which is this one. And the task force and Siemens reports changed that to Z. Because Z drops the Mill Creek substation.
That's the difference.
Might be easier to refer to them as the one along Chapel Hill and the one along Nifong.
There you go. Chapel Hill or Nifong. That's part of the confusion is every time we do this, we change it the way we name it. Let's just leave it at Chapel Hill and Nifong.
Did you want to finish that talk, though, about what the Siemens report said? You were starting to ask a question, and then we got confused on what option you were talking about.
Which option was which? Like I said, there was some, and this was in a report that was actually provided to me by my predecessor, and it said don't release. I'm not sure I can discuss it here.
I'm asked, Tom, did you want to ask Tom a question? What are you
No,
you're pointing at me.
Well, Tom kept throwing his hand up. Okay. That's why I was notifying you. But electrically, these two are identical. They should each equally address the N minus one scenario because it's, you know, a wire from this point to this point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what the alignment of it is. So I don't think there would be any difference.
Do you have a question from the Waterland Advisory Board?
Yes. When we reference option W, which is the Chapel Hill one, and the price of $30 million, and part of my input is driven by earlier decisions where cost was one of the prevailing justifications for bringing option A back in. So if we're going to talk about cost, and option A removes the need for that extra substation, which helps bring some costs down, which is one of the big drivers. That $30 million, if I recall, and please point out if I'm mistaken this, but the $30 million price tag for that route, the Chapel Hill route, the option W that the task force recommended, involved the relocation of Hinkson substation.
It didn't include that cost.
I'm sorry?
It did not include the cost to relocate, I don't believe.
That's one of the...
If my memory is correct.
Your memory is correct?
I said if my memory is correct, it did not include that cost.
My impression was that we spent a fair amount of time talking about that because we also discussed as a group that we needed the university to get their checkbook out to help with that expense. But we've determined recently, or at least staff determined recently, that we don't need to relocate Hinkson away from the water. It can just be raised in place for substantially less. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering about the degree to which, in case that was included in the cost, because talked about quite a bit as a group, how that brings that $30 million down, kind of commensurate. If we're going to be taking substation expenses out of the equation, I just want to confirm that wasn't rolled into the $30 million. But also, when we're talking about the easements, where we can use kind of roughly 80% of the easement, there's been a lot of improvements on that road, so the road's been expanded, and poles have obviously been relocated. How much, these are 5 foot wide stanchions, 5 foot in diameter, sitting on concrete pads, and I don't know what these are gonna look like, but oftentimes when you see these big power lines, there's like arms that come out to the side, which is also air rights that have to be acquired, because you can't just have your arms overhanging someone's house. That's more easement to get. My biggest concern in talking to some of the council members is we just have to get our arms around the cost, understanding it a little bit better, particularly since earlier decisions were based on cost. So since we have the roadway and one of my frustrations about a couple months ago when I learned that the city stopped doing cost estimates for option A because the road had been established that it was going to go in, but its location hadn't been established. So all there was a pause on what the impact would be on real estate. At least that's what the public records requests show. And then it was never revisited. So all the certainty we got as a task force when members of the public will come and say, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. This is a power grab by lay people who don't know, who aren't the experts. We already know that option A is cheaper. No one knew what option A really was going to cost ever at any point. All we have is Siemens estimate of what it might have cost. As we know from discounting some of the other options, Siemens didn't do some exhaustive giant review, and I agree that the moment it was published, the information was probably stale because we dragged it out as made some layperson mistakes on how that task force went. Anyway, sorry for my soapbox, but hopefully we can understand more. I mean, the diameter of these, this won't look like any power lines we've seen. And it's possible, can you tell us, and maybe you can research it, if there's a single municipality in the United States that would do this scale project through residential areas. It's possible that there's not a single municipality where this is the case.
Thank you, Tom. So maybe following up on that, I think knowing about the Hinkson substation, if that was included in the Siemens one, I think at the end of the day, at the end of this day, I think we're going to have a lot of questions about cost before feeling confident on any of these things. So figuring out what you need in order to do those evaluations would be appreciated. Yeah, Betsy.
When we talk about undergrounding or aerial lines, what is the difference in cost? And can you go from undergrounding to overhead and back, or does everything have to be either underground or above ground?
No, it could be underground, or portions of it could be. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be a combination. My best information on cost difference is that undergrounding can cost 6 to 10 times as much, depending on, you know, if it's in rock or how many other utilities have to be relocated to build the duct bank that would have to hold the conductors.
And to clarify, undergrounding distribution or both distribution and transmission, or just what are we?
That was for transmission.
Okay. Okay.
But it can be done if you the university has an underground transmission line that goes to their substation currently. And then if you drive to Kansas City, when you get to Bass Pro Shops, if you look on the south side of the interstate, you'll see a transmission line that dives underground. It runs all along that Bass Pro development, whatever all that is, and then it comes back up above ground on the south end.
Nick, and then I have another.
So we're really talking here about transmission line, not distribution. Right. If we were to underground portions or all of that, at any point, the distribution lines would remain aerial, correct? Or would you bury those as well?
If we were going to bury the transmission, we'd put the distribution in the ground as well. Yeah. You're already going to have a huge trench opened up. It would not make sense.
Yeah, okay.
And remind, on these, the ones here, for the existing 161s that we have, do any of those go through residential neighborhoods?
The green one north of the power plant goes around the railroad tracks. That goes through some residential areas.
Right there, it goes through residential areas.
The transmission line, double circuited transmission line into Grindstone 169 goes through residential area. The Overton, the 161 area over there on the right, that goes right over the top of a house.
Yep.
Poor guys.
The existing line along Chapel Hill goes through.
That's 69.
That's 69.
Okay.
A lot of the 69 goes through residential.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm concerned about the cost of doing nothing. I'm concerned that we've been waiting for, you know, this long, and I'd really like to know if you had to make a decision today, if we said we need to move forward, what would be your gut decision to tell us what we need to do?
What I believe, if you were to tell us to move forward today, would be to build a 161 line that goes down Scott Boulevard, Nifong, Butter School Road, Grindstone. But you know, at the same time, I'll say again, our system meets all regulatory requirements. So it's a matter of our level of service, and is load shedding an acceptable solution to a scenario when you would overload your system? Personally, I think we should provide a little higher level of service than that.
Mm-hmm. And if we can't, maybe we need to have other discussions about that.
Betsy, you have a question?
Yes, it's probably more of a comment. We do need to decide if we need to do something, and if so, there's about, it seems like a 4-year lag time, I'm guessing, between the time we make the decision, once we know how much it costs, once we order everything, once we wait for it to show up, once we actually put it in. So
well, the
this is
approval process, if you tell us to proceed, is what, 3 years in MISO?
No, MISO has 3 years.
Or longer?
Yeah, see, so it's an 18-month process.
18 months.
It's 18 months, and it starts in September, so we missed the submission date. So it goes in next year.
Should be 3 years.
3 years from the
commission. And that's just to get it approved.
from MISA before we can
MISA, begin. But that doesn't get it built.
No. That's why I said it's a 5 to 10 year project at best.
Okay. Yannick.
Ask a question about demand. I mean, we're talking here about current, but what are we anticipating in terms of electrical demand moving forward? My sense is that we're looking at greater demand over time, not only because we're growing as a city, but also because we're moving more toward electrification in terms of use. So do you guys have projections about what we can anticipate and what impact does that have on this decision?
Can I answer?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Maybe not if you said sure.
We've had at least 2 requests for data centers in the area that have been at 20 megawatts and projected higher. One of those was on the south side of town. There's of course electrification, and as more neighborhoods get put in, they're gonna draw more electric and less natural gas. The university is not importing very many renewables and would like to. And if for the university to be able to import renewables, they could seek a firm power commitment from us so that they don't have to run their power plant as much. In which case, if they get that agreement, we have to do something. We're now in an N-1 condition. We don't have an agreement with them to do that. There's several larger customers that use natural gas for heating, or it's all heat. It's mostly along Route B that are want to trans over from electrical or from natural gas heating to electrical boilers. That's not particularly relevant to this particular discussion, but it will become relevant if we need to provide more power to them or places that get put in up there. So if the meatball factory wants to do electrical, the craft factory wants to go all electrical, the dairy wants to go all electrical, those requests are, they're coming. We don't have a timeline, but they're starting to make those inquiries.
That was a weird answer.
Yeah, Betsy.
And then putting a line from west to east is going to allow us to provide more electricity throughout the system because it's a ring system and we can move electricity around.
So part of the west to east, part of the west to east benefit is that Dave mentioned early on about doing maintenance. And so while it also helps with the transfer of power and backing up Perchy Creek, it also provides power to the east side of town for us to do maintenance on that side easier. And now you've kind of got another leg, and you see there's a line from north to south on the east side. Maybe you get a line from west to east on the south side. We may be looking at another line from west to east on the north side in 20 years.
So we should start now?
Yeah.
It seems to take that longer to get it done.
Well, also, it's much easier to get it done when you don't have it, when you haven't built it up.
Yeah.
Because when this initially was supposed to go along NiFi, I don't believe there was anywhere near the building and the growth that has happened along that.
Yeah.
So if we make a decision and move it along, that would be cheaper easier.
The other significant portion of that 20-year time frame is that CEC does have a lifespan. And so we get to the point where, okay, these units need to be retired, we can replace them and not do a transmission line. probably. It's very looking far out into my crystal ball, but I'm the only one over here that might still be here in 20 years.
But the CEC requires natural gas.
Yes.
So as we're looking towards, like, not having as much natural gas reliancy, that, yeah, we might prefer transmission over to places that have that energy. Can I ask, so on these estimates that we have, and I sent this in the email, but, you know, when we're talking about the cost estimates to this, we estimate, and I talked to Todd Coley at Boone Electric today, and he's like, oh, that's sweet that they said $30 million. It's probably going to be $80 million based on the increase. Because they're right now building out, Central Electric is building out two huge transmission lines, so, you know, so not too far from us, that they're making improvements to. So I'd be remiss if I don't ask, what sort of, like, federal funding are we going for trying to do this? Because there's lots of money out there, and some of the direct pay things I think would be relevant. But I can't imagine that we have enough in reserves
so
to
cover
these.
So we've got almost $30 million remaining in bond authorization, and we've got $3.6 million that are restricted bond funds for transmission projects currently. There is a potential that MISO would participate financially in a project on either one of those two alignments because it may benefit their system enough that they would, it would warrant some of their cost participation.
What does that mean? What does that look like?
We've never done it, but there's a little bit different process you go through, and you can request them to evaluate it, and if they determine that it is a system upgrade for MISO, they may participate in part of the project. And if we do either alignment, I think we should do a request for that analysis to be done. We can go ahead and you go through the normal system, but they also do some additional evaluations. They won't do it if you don't ask.
They won't do, sorry?
They won't do that evaluation if you don't request it.
Okay.
And then the last thing is we do have potential for grant funding from federal programs. And we do have a Department of Energy fellow that recently we were awarded a grant from DOE. And that person, as part of the work they're doing for us, is investigating federal funding opportunities to see if that would be available and for what different types of projects, transmission expansion, advanced metering, battery storage, et cetera, and then we anticipate a report from them early next year, like May, something like that.
Is Boone Electric, I know it's a co-op, but is it part of MISO?
No.
Or separate? So we can't use their transmission lines if we needed to reroute some electricity, or is that?
It's very complex and complicated. We use their transmission lines all the time because that's what's tied into us on the east side of town. And then we're tied into Ameren on the west side of town. And Ameren is in MISO, but Central is not.
And they're in a different network, right, or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, they're
where they turned out.
RTO.
You're talking about tapping into Boone.
TVA.
Okay, so a little louder for the rest of us.
TVA is their transmission operator.
So we don't use their transmission lines usually.
We do use their transmission lines.
They're their own RTO.
In some instances.
They're their own RTO.
RTO.
Yeah. Well, what's that?
Regional
transmission operator.
Okay, thank you.
Who's their balancing authority?
TVA is their.
TVA is the balancing. Reliability coordinator. Okay.
They are a balancing authority.
We need one more acronym.
Absolutely.
More terms, more acronyms.
Associated is a very unique beast. They have all kinds of weird things going on compared to the way the rest of the world works. And they are an RTO, their own transmission operator organization, and they're a balancing authority. But their RC is TVA. So they have some weird interconnection, you know, rules there, but they're more on their own than we are. They're not under like a MISO.
Okay.
They're more independent.
Just curious when I'm hearing they're building big transmission lines, if you know,
right?
Something we could tap into.
I mean, and we have a line from Thomas Hill Power Station to Columbia that we jointly own with Associated.
And Thomas Hill is where?
Up on Mulberry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for all questions, so I think, you know, I know we're looking for direction from council, and I think we've heard it loud and clear that we need some sort of continuation from west to east and this improvements of going. I think from what I'm also hearing from my council members, there's still a lot of questions about the cost. And so I don't feel that I have a confident read on whichever letter we want to call the different options that you gave us, WZA 1, 2, 3.
Chapel or...
Chapel, Nifong. For some of those things, what would it take to get some just better estimates, even though I know there's the planning is needed with some of these? And to answer some of those questions about, is the substation included in the cost or not? Just those basic ones.
Well, and then there's costs at each substation to tie in. That cost should be the same for both. I don't know that it's in these estimates that Siemens produced. I think if you'd like us to, that we could get a cost from a consultant who's built these things recently and has actual costs. We haven't built a transmission line in 18 years.
Right.
So we're not going to have accurate cost information on that, and we could have them analyze both of them and come back.
Because then on your previous slide under funding, you have that we have close to $30 million as far as the, but that won't cover the whole project cost for, I mean, based on you telling me that, you know, these numbers are at least 4 years old and we've had lots of inflation increases and everything else since, that we don't feel confident with that 29. Okay. Lisa, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, could we approve it at a cost not to exceed a specific amount?
Well, we would.
I think I'd want to see
the information on cost to help evaluate which path to go down.
Okay. I'm okay.
To help in that decision, do we go along Chapel Hill? Do we go along Nifong?
Okay.
That's what I heard, I think.
And some of those outline kind of the questions of the under, you know, when somebody tells me 6 to 10 times, I'm kind of like, I want to feel a little bit more confident in deciding, because undergrounding sounds really great for anything that we're talking about, but I want to know. Yeah, Nick, and then Roy.
Boy, why don't you go ahead? I'm really curious about
it. Mine is just a clarity question. So, for clarifications, we're going to get an estimate of both the Chapel Hill and the Nifong line and that's, then proceed forward?
Yeah, that's okay. At least my question, if that's possible.
Okay. That was just for clarity.
Yeah.
And that seems to be where this conversation is going. If I were to sum it up, I would say that the sense is, certainly on the part of staff and seemingly on the part of council, that we need to do something about transmission lines east to west in our city, both really for what's anticipated. The question is, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like we've limited it to two possibilities at this time. And I know that Siemens had other ones, and we explored connecting to Ameren and found that was just probably cost prohibitive. So I'm kind of clarifying here too. Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about, one or the other, but we at base we're saying we agree that we need to do something in the way of a transmission line, right?
Feel confident.
Is that our sense?
I think there's the confidence in that. I think the other thing is that in my conversation, while you say we're not connected to Boone Electric, in talking to them, I think we still do affect them in some regards, as far as when you're talking about different things happening in the system and the other systems that we affect. Because what we're talking about, it's not even just the, while we might not have seen the load growth that is estimated, we will continue to see growth in the load, but it's really about that peak demand and making sure that if a system goes down to our west, we're not then affected and something happens on our system where we're having to do load shedding.
But this is one of those places I think cities get in trouble.
Yeah.
They don't do something that they think about doing, and then later on the thing that's least desirable happens and everybody says, why didn't they do something?
Yeah.
I frankly don't want to be a part of the answer to that that says, because they just didn't.
Right.
And I know that there's a cost. There are cost issues here. I'm very interested in what there might be in the way of federal funding and other possibilities with MISO and so forth. And I think we also need to keep in mind what the impact will be along whichever route, because it's not going to be a happy experience for anybody. I think it's not going to be something that's going to be necessarily welcome. So I think we just need to think about that too, and that's part of the decision-making process.
Yeah, I believe in 2016, that January reports, they had some of those different matrix of the impacts of the different routes. Mm-hmm. And to be interested, like, I'll need to revisit, maybe encourage that to be sent out to us about what is along. But yeah, what would be, you mentioned here the public improvement process. I'm hoping that we would do some of that outreach beforehand, also before getting down farther down, making sure that we're talking about our options here. Yeah, Roy.
So one of my questions is, how long would it take to get an estimate back? And then the other question is, we are in agreement that the Nifong and the Chapel Hill line both address everything without a difference, correct? I'm seeing a lot of heads over here go like this.
If I heard what Dave Sorrell said, he said that both of those two lines, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, serve that concern over the N-1-1.
That's as far correct. But the people behind you are all going like this, so you can't see them.
Okay, but I'm looking at the person. You're right. If this was the sort of
analysis.
That's
why I asked the question. So okay.
Either one of them addresses the need to shed load during an N-1-1 scenario. Either alignment.
Okay.
What's the difference between the two of them besides route? I thought they were electrically equivalent to one another.
The route is the difference between the two of them. And one's much easier to construct than the other.
The Nifong route would be cheaper and a little quicker to build. Again, concerning right-of-way and easements and that.
But both will go through residential areas. I think that's right. Like the bigger thing. It's like both go through residential areas, and so it's like,
right.
So
is that, there a third?
And that, but it's right. Basically the Chapel Hill achieves its purpose, but it would take longer and be more expensive. Nifong achieves a purpose, would be a little quicker. But again, residential, both going through residential neighborhoods. It's a primary difference between the two. Is that correct, Dave?
Right.
The end result is going to be the same.
Betsy. We have 80% of the easements for the Chapel Hill
when
one.
They were designing the street and they were coordinating pole placement. I believe you said about 80% of the poles were in existing right of way or easements.
That's for Nifong.
That's
though,
for
right?
The bottom.
For the Nifong, for the southern alignment.
Do we have any for Chapel Hill?
There are existing poles there already, so we have those.
And even after the project is, most of that has been built out, that still exists. Right. Okay. Yeah. Betsy, you had a question.
Yeah, I do. So if we end up with, what is the public input process for this? I mean, in the past, the first time around, back in the mid-2010s, there were a lot of interested parties meetings and a lot of information that went out to the public before
this
was put on pause. So I guess what I'm asking is, are we going to go back to, what do we need to do again? Do we need to do interested parties meetings? Do we just do public hearings? Do we do both? I know there's...
So this says all. That one talks about doing the interested parties meetings and then public hearings.
I think we need to do all.
Yeah.
And probably more than one interested parties meeting to get feedback.
Good back question.
Yeah.
I think we have a set deadline on when we would have it all finished so we can make a decision.
That's what Roy was just asking, the estimated time for the different kind of pieces. So this estimated time for kind of like that review of cost, do you have an estimated time on that one?
I need to make a couple phone calls and find out how long it would be. I don't want to throw out some time frame that's just made up, and that's what I'd be doing is making it up.
On or before the end of January.
Frankly, I think that's a little optimistic. It would be great, but I think end of January is optimistic.
This is the
night.
Yep.
Indeed.
I'm just trying to.
Well, that might give us an idea of cost, and then we would have to decide on which ones to pick. And RFP and all that stuff. So
if nothing else, we need an updated cost, good current updated cost estimates what funding is available, whether partnerships, cost share, grants. I've heard that through IRA there may be some undergrounding grant money available, so we can, you know, what can we take advantage of to help offset our costs? And yeah, given the numbers you gave us before, in all likelihood, we're probably going to have to go back and ask for some more fund, ask for some more bonding authority, quite frankly. I mean, let's see what the costs are, but just given that this was approved essentially 10 years ago.
It included a substation.
Mm-hmm. It did, you're right. Mm-hmm. But
then there's the Hinkson Creek one, so
So, anyway.
I think a clear direction would be helpful, though, before going
The first thing would be getting some updated costs and what funding and grants is available. And verifying right away what we have, what we don't have, what we need to obtain.
Well, and I think that's one of the feedback that we heard from people with concerns over were the true cost estimated at that time as well, right? Knowing about land acquisition and all of those. And so just feeling like we have a confident, kind of like to Lisa's point, not to exceed estimated number. I think the other thing is with this, is to Nick's point, is that we haven't had to load shed yet, and we don't want to. Right? And I think that's the big thing for this. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to be a partner, a good partner within our region, we want to make sure that we are doing our due diligence with this. And we don't have the luxury of being Boone Electric that seems like they can just do whatever they want. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what it kind of sounds like, if they have it all. So I think just being really conscious, though, over the impact that this will have and what it looks like, how it affects the roadways and the neighbors. This is not I don't think it's any council's easy decision, but we know we need to do something to make sure that we have a resilient grid. I've got Lisa, Betsy, Don.
Well, and Mayor and Council, I also think we need to be mindful that there's a risk. I think our community, I'm sensing a risk tolerance in our community with our ability to handle this type of situation in question with our utility direction as we continue to grow as a city. So I think it's really important that if we want to own it, that we own it and that we really put our all behind doing this exceptionally well. Otherwise, we're going to need to have some other discussions.
Yeah. Betsy.
Well, my question was just as we grow as a city, and I've brought this up occasionally, but we really haven't had a conversation about this, is do we need to consider selling this?
I think that's what Lisa was hinting at.
I know, but she's hinting at it, and I'm just going to
say it.
She's newer on council than I am.
Well, I'm just
generally, as a general rule, it seems like we buy our electricity from MISO. We occasionally contribute to it, but we generally are managing our electrical needs through MISO. And, none of us are experts at this. Well, you guys might be. And we're all becoming experts. But, is this something we might need to consider? I know we've been a full service city, but is this something that maybe is getting outside of our wheelhouse and we really need to just say, we're between St. Louis and Kansas City, we're on the MISO corridor, let them manage it and not have us manage it. And I'm just bringing that up. I don't know that it's going to go anywhere tonight, but... And I don't know what we would need to think about, but it's something that I think we need to consider.
Yep, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. We've got to think about it.
Don, did you have a comment?
We've been talking about redundancy, resiliency, load shedding, but the comment was also made about not having this and not having the capability is also then impacting us economically in that couple of data centers inquiries, and we basically have said we can't accommodate. They're going to go to where they can be accommodated. Whether that's Boonville or Ashland or St. Louis or Centralia or wherever. So we're It's more than just a redundancy. That's the primary reason, but it's more than that.
Growth.
As well.
Are there comments?
Can we easily, I mean, can we even just move out of that kind of market with the infrastructure that we have? Would the equation change if there's a buyer? I don't know. I mean, it's so much of a larger discussion. I guess I would want it to be staff initiated. I think they would have brought it up.
Yeah. Let's stick on transmission for the moment, just for a second, because that's opening up a hole, and we're only having things to do.
And we're not prepared to discuss it. I'm just bringing it up because I think to be responsible, we have to consider whether we are really the best people to run this. I think you guys do a great job. No offense meant at all, but I'm just wondering whether we're outgrowing our ability to really manage this.
I think it's actually part of the bigger, it's part of actually a bigger discussion that the city as an organization, as a community needs to have, is that as we grow, there's multiple areas where we need to be planning better for growth.
Yes.
All of our utilities, water utilities as it's growing, solid waste utilities, general fund, public safety, right? Like, we don't add, when I add on 200 new homes in the Northwest, that doesn't automatically give us 10 new officers and a new firehouse. So I think that a growth strategy is probably something that we should be having as a council and as a community. And it touches on a lot of those things that this would then be. And it'd be kind of to your point, Betsy, about a north transmission line that we should be planning for now, for as that continues to grow, and planning for it before we grow into those space and we have to take land from people who just built their house. So add that to a future work session and plan that out to Carlin Ginko.
Sounds like a half day.
Do you have direction, Dave, for at least for the next bit? I imagine that additional questions will come to council either from the people who will email us right after this meeting to also just things that have come up as we look into this and we heard the conversation. As a reminder, most of the council members here, not everyone has been in any of these conversations before. Only one person was here in 2016, and she's tried to block it from her memory. So I think it's part of we're trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing, knowing that we need to do something, and appreciate you bringing the additional information to us.
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the order? All right, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn our pre-council at 6:28.